This morning, I want us to talk about a topic that we have discussed frequently, maybe from a new approach this morning. You know, I have faith in my wife and my children and my grandchildren. You do as well with yours. I have faith in my doctor. If not, I wouldn't use him. But that's a different type of faith than what we're going to discuss this morning. This morning, I want us to talk about biblical faith. And I want us to begin with the definition of faith that's found in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, what is that saying to us? What does that really say? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. Being obedient to the gospel of Christ in order to receive the promises Christ has offered us. That's what it's talking about. We have that hope if we're a child of God, even though we have not looked upon God and seen him. We see evidences of him, and we believe through faith by reading and studying the Word of God. If you look in Hebrews 11 in verse 6, it says, faith, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, what is this passage saying? It's saying, without faith, one is not pleasing to God. Now, it's not talking about the faith you have in your wife, or the faith you have in your children, or the faith you have in your doctor. Is talking about without biblical faith, one is not pleasing unto God. And you know, there are so many that do not understand this word, or these words, biblical faith. Our own brethren, as the church as a whole, they don't understand what it means, many of them don't, to have biblical or Bible faith. They think faith is just a term we use in the vocabulary. They don't understand the commitment and the dedication that goes along with having Bible faith. And this morning, I want to attempt to discuss Bible faith with you. But before we can actually look, or as we look at Bible faith, we are going to answer three questions. And this will be the lesson this morning. The first question, what is Bible faith or biblical faith? Secondly, how does biblical faith come? And third, what is the function or purpose of faith? Now, those are the three things we're going to cover in our lesson this morning. First of all, what is biblical faith? You know, I was talking to a friend of mine not too terribly long ago, and we brought up the topic of faith. Well, actually, he did. And I said, well, what is your understanding of biblical faith? And the answer he gave me was this. He says, it's a personal belief. I said, well, that's not my understanding of it. I said, if you look carefully at Romans 10 and verse 17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In other words, to put it simply and plainly, faith comes by hearing and believing God's word. He said, now where'd you find all that? And I showed him. But so many people, even our own membership of the Lord's church, don't understand what it means to have Bible faith. They don't understand the commitment. They don't understand the dedication. They don't even understand whence it comes. Through hearing and believing God's word. And you know, as Christians, we don't actually have to see things with our eyes to know that it exists, right? I'm holding a green apple in my hand. I know all of you see it. Some of you are laughing. You say, well, he's finally gone over the brink. Well, no, I'm not holding a green apple. There is no evidence in my hand to indicate that I'm holding a green apple. But when it comes to spiritual things, we don't have to see with our eyes to know it exists because we have the evidence of the handiwork of God. And all you have to do is but look about and know. If you'll turn with me to 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 18, I want you to notice what the scripture says. While we look not at the things which are seen, for the things which are not, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are earthly or temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, if we look in the Bible, the word faith as it is used denotes the entire structure of what faith is. Just like when we look at Acts 2:38 and it says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. But now let's think about that. We're not baptized in the name of Jesus only. Because Jesus is a part of the Godhead. What did he say in Matthew 28:19-20? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. So when we mention the deity that's found in Acts 2:38, you can't separate the Godhead. So when we baptize in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Well, the same is true here with faith. We're looking at faith as a whole thing that's contained in the scriptures. Let me give you some examples. If you'll turn with me to Galatians 1 and verse 23, it says there, Paul had preached the faith. He preached the faith. And then if you turn to the book of Jude, go to the end of the Bible, Revelation, Jude, and you look at verse 3, it says that Jude, if you read it silently there, it says that Jude encouraged those to whom he wrote to earnestly contend for the faith. And then if you look in Romans 1 and verse 5, it says in Romans 1 and verse 5, Paul said, that we could be obedient to the faith. So this is the hearing and believing of God's word. To be obedient to that word, that faith. So if I were to ask you then, what is biblical faith? It is our actively hearing, believing, and obeying the word of God. All right, let's look at the second question. How does biblical faith come? How does Bible faith come? And Brother Daniel read for us a while ago from Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 17. And this passage sets out the procedure for one to obtain faith, which is, to reiterate, hearing and believing God's word. And then, if you look in John 17 and verse 20, Jesus himself said that faith would come through the apostles' word, by the teaching of what the apostles presented. And then if we go to Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, and we look at Acts 2 and verse 37, and I want us to point out something here, and if you have a pen, you may want to underline this in your Bible. I took a yellow highlighter and highlighted the word in mine. But I want us to notice here what happened in Acts chapter 2. Now when, verse 37, now when they heard this. Notice they heard it. They didn't feel it. It wasn't some type of overwhelming emotional indwelling of the Holy Ghost. They heard. Notice. They heard this. And then they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? So it wasn't some kind of a mysterious operation of God. They actually heard it. They didn't feel it, but they heard it. And then let's look at another situation very similarly. If you will, please, turn to Acts 8 and verse 12. And Philip was preaching here in this verse. And if you'll notice, it says, but when they believed, Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Now notice, Philip preached first. And then they believed and they were baptized. But all that's tying in the definition of faith. What is faith? Hearing and believing and being obedient to God's word. But notice, what I'm trying to show you is that you cannot have faith without hearing the word of God. It takes the preaching from the Holy Word for us to believe and act upon through obedience. And if you'll notice there, these people heard the word. They didn't feel it. They heard it. So we ask then, how does biblical faith come? By hearing, believing, and obeying God's word. So that brings us to the last question. What is the purpose of Bible faith? Let me tell you something, brethren, friends. If your faith does not motivate you to be obedient to God, then you do not have Bible faith. If your faith does not motivate you, encourage yourself. If it doesn't cause you to want to immediately be obedient to God, then the faith you have is not Bible faith. I'd like you to turn with me to James chapter 2, and let's look at verses 14 through 19. And you read those silently as I bring out points that I'd like you to verify from looking at the word there. James 2, verses 14 through 19. Notice the question that's asked in verse 14. Can faith save him? Look at verse 17. Faith without works is dead, being alone. Look at verse 18. We show our faith by our works. And then look at verse 19. Did you know the devils have faith? What does the Bible say? They believe and tremble. Now, the question again. Do you have that Bible faith that motivates or causes you immediately to be obedient to God? Because if you don't, then you don't have the Bible faith. And in conjunction with this, when we do obey the Word of God, our obedience must come from the heart. You know, if your boss man on your job told you to do something, Raven, if you were still working, you had your work crew out there, and you told a particular one to go out there and dig whatever or do whatever, and if he looked at you and refused, you would probably write him up or go out there and take a shovel and hit him. I don't know which. But you'd write him up and turn it in to your supervisor, right? Because he didn't do what you said. And if that was a repeat occurrence, ultimately what's going to happen to him? He's going to lose his job. He'll be out of luck. Do you see the similarity I'm portraying here? We can ignore receiving Bible faith. And God is offered. And every time you say no, the devil wins again. And it's going to come to the point one day, time's going to run out. You had all those opportunities to do something about it before losing your job. You have all these opportunities to do something about this before the final chapter is closed. We obey from the heart. I'd like you to look at Romans 6 and verses 17 and 18, please. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. What is it saying? First of all, we obey from the heart, and then we mature as a Christian in righteousness. So, what is the purpose of faith? After obtaining faith by hearing and believing and obeying the Word of God, it is that which should encourage us to remain faithful to God. In conclusion, the number one question I want to ask this morning as we close is, do you have Bible faith? Do you have that faith that has motivated you to be obedient to God, hearing His Word and believing? And again, it's not from some little voice in the night saying, oh, this Sunday you need to go forward and be obedient. It's not going to happen. And in fact, if you're sitting there waiting to hear that little voice, you're going to be sitting there forever. And when you die, and I go to the undertaker and I say, well, what happened? Well, they were sitting there waiting on that little voice. And time ran out. And that's what's going to happen if we're not obedient to God. Now, whether or not you want to receive that Bible faith is left up to you. Oh, I wish it were left up to me. But it's not. That's your choice. You have to make it. No one can do it for you. You know, it's like that song, the Reverend Mr. Black. Gotta walk that lonesome valley. Gotta walk it by myself. Lord, no one else can do it for me. I gotta make it by myself. This morning, you yourself have to make that decision. The choice is yours.